This is the English service of Ukrainian radio.
This is the English service of Ukrainian radio. Next in line is the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
The Donetsk sector remains the epicenter of the conflict in the east of Ukraine, though the number of separatist attacks has considerably decreased up to 5 per day, the operational headquarters informed. Nevertheless, pro-Russian hirelings keep breaching the Minsk agreements, shelling the residential quarters and positions of the Ukrainian military. Among the settlements that most frequently came under the enemy's fire were the villages of Piske, Vodyane, Lebedinske and the strategically important town of Avdiivka. In the past week, at least half of the attacks were made from heavy weaponry prohibited by the Minsk agreements. Operational headquarters spokesman Colonel Дмитро Гуцуляк knows more.
Позиції Збройних сил України вкотре були піддані обстрілам з боку російсько-окупаційних військ.
The positions of Ukrainian troops are regularly shelled by pro-Russian separatists. This week in the Luhansk sector, the enemy used heavy weaponry banned by the Minsk agreements for 2 days in a row. Separatists use grenade launchers, infantry fighting vehicles and large-caliber guns, said Дмитро Гуцуляк. The OSCE Special Monitoring Mission in Ukraine also marked the decrease of violence in Donbas. However, the OSCE observers marked the frequent use of weaponry in the places of mass gatherings along the contact line in Donbas.
You're listening to the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukraine's Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin and his Italian counterpart and OSCE chairperson in office Angelina Alfano visited the southern Ukrainian port of Mariupol, Donetsk region. Upon his arrival in Mariupol, Angelina Alfano said that the Ukrainian crisis was a priority for the Italian OSCE chairmanship. At a meeting with Chief Monitor of the OSCE Special Monitoring Mission Ertugrul Arpakan in Donbas, he expressed Italy's full support and stated that the mission's work in the area of increased danger was essential for the implementation of the Minsk agreements and the prevention of a dangerous escalation of the conflict. The meeting participants also focused on ceasefire violations in the counter-terrorism operation area and the humanitarian situation in the region. Ukraine's Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin expressed his hope that broadening and proper functioning of the OSCE mission would be a priority for Italy running the OSCE in 2018. Ukraine considers that both human and technical potential of the OSCE mission in Ukraine should be enhanced, Ukrainian Foreign Minister Pavlo Klimkin said.
Місія на сьогодні не може виконувати свій мандат на окупованій території. Вона не має доступу до...
The OSCE mission cannot properly fulfill its duties in Ukraine. Separatists often prevent them from attending the temporarily occupied territories in Donbas. The mission's mandate allows it to work on the whole territory of Ukraine, including Donbas and Crimea, said Pavlo Klimkin. He also stressed that Russia's support provided to the separatists in Donbas brings the situation in the region to humanitarian catastrophe. In his turn, Italian Prime Minister Angelino Alfano said that breaching of the Minsk agreements is the main obstacle for settling the Donbas conflict. Sometimes casting one glance at the situation will unveil more than any reports from this spot of event, said Angelina Alfano. That's why we came to Donbass to get a better vision of what's going on there, he stressed. Later in the day, it was informed that Italy will allocate 2 million euros of humanitarian aid to Ukraine. The money will be the aid for the citizens of the part of Donbass and controlled by Kyiv. 500,000 euros will be allocated by the World Food Programme for the supply of the food products and prime necessity goods, informed the press service of the Italian Foreign Ministry. According to them, another 500,000 euros will be allocated by the UNICEF for the programs of mine risks. 1 million euros will be provided to the International Committee of the Red Cross for the implementation of the projects in the healthcare and population protection spheres, the message said. The situation in the conflict zone in Donbass and the occupied Crimea was the key topic for discussion between the President of Ukraine Petro Poroshenko and OSCE leader Angelina Alfano held in Kyiv on Tuesday. Petro Poroshenko informed Alfano about the current situation in Donbass and welcomed his decision to attend the region within the framework of his visit to Ukraine. The Ukrainian president thanked the Italian official for the long-standing support of Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. Both sides condemned the worsening situation in the area of human rights protection in Donbass and the Russia-annexed Crimean Peninsula.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary. Ukraine's foreign minister believes that the adoption in the Polish Senate of the law on the Institute of National Remembrance, which among other things concerns Ukraine, is aimed not at the discussion of historical truth, but the construction of historical mythology. After a continuous discussion on the 1st of February, the Senate of Poland supported the relevant bill without amendments, which provides criminal liability for the denial of crimes of Ukrainian nationalists against Polish citizens. Ukraine's President Petro Poroshenko stated that the law does not correspond to the proclaimed principles of strategic partnership between Ukraine and Poland and contains absolutely unacceptable assessments. The US Department of State also expressed its deep concern at the adoption of this document, which is also called the Holocaust Bill, as it criminalizes the use of the wording Polish death camps in describing the concentration camps that existed in the country of the occupied Poland during the Second World War. The United States noted that the law could undermine freedom of speech and academic discourse, creating obstacles to the debate on the Holocaust, and urged President Andrzej Duda to veto the law. The bill triggered a diplomatic spat between Israel and Warsaw's conservative government since its initial approval in the lower house of parliament last week, with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comparing it to an effort to change history. 57 senators voted to adopt the law. The majority of them belong to the ruling party Law and Justice, according to the news agency Ukrinform. Adam Balser, political scientist, teacher of Eastern European Studies at Warsaw University, said in an interview with the Ukrainian TV that in general in Poland, the situation of ethnic nationalism is growing. This is proved by the results of the public opinion polls, as he said. There is one-third of Poles who we can say have a positive attitude towards Ukraine. The other third has a rather indifferent approach. And unfortunately, there is a rather large group that is negative towards Ukrainians. In every state, every society, there are negative stereotypes, prejudice, and different views, including the difficult legacy of history. This is a normal matter. But then the responsibility lies on the political elite. In my opinion, it should not strengthen stereotypes and negative perception of neighbors, said Adam Balser. Pavlo Klimkin, Ukraine's foreign minister, also claimed that the Ukrainian party is ready for an objective and joint examination of facts. You're listening to the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
On the 29th of January, Ukraine commemorated 100 years of the Battle of Kruty, honoring heroes who sacrificed their lives in the fight for Ukraine's liberty and independence. My colleague Tatiana Mikitenko knows more.
On this day in 1918, near the village of Kruty, a battalion of Ukrainian students confronted Bolshevik troops advancing towards Kyiv. It was the first significant military clash between Soviet-Russian Red Imperialism and the freedom-loving democratic forces of the free world. Though aggressors greatly outnumbered the Ukrainian forces and were better trained, armed and equipped, the student battalion succeeded in blocking the Bolshevik advance on Kyiv for several days. The battle enabled the Ukrainian government to stay in the capital of Kyiv a while longer, making it possible for the delegation of the Central Rada to conclude and sign the Peace Treaty of Brest-Litovsk, acquiring international recognition and fortifying the political status of the new state. However, the moral significance of the Battle of Kruty is far greater. These acts of heroism made it possible for the Ukrainian nation to keep up its struggle for liberty. And this struggle goes on. President Петро Порошенко.
Бій під Крутами – одна із численних битв в одвічному хрестовому поході Росії проти України.
The Battle of Kruty is one of the many battles instigated by Russia in its eternal crusade to destroy Ukraine. Those who survived the battle continued their fight for independence, joining the Ukrainian insurgent army. We commemorate these century-old events not only to pay tribute to our history, but to avoid the mistakes of the past being repeated. Day by day we take steps to strengthen our armed forces and our defense industry. We are strongly supported by our international partners, who not only expand their sanction policy that holds back the aggressors in Ukraine, but also finally are ready to provide Ukraine with enhanced defensive capabilities. We believe that consolidation of all Ukrainians against the threat coming from Russia is the most important precondition for our ultimate victory, said Petro Poroshenko. For more than 70 years, the true story of the Kruty battle was hidden by the Soviet Union. It was only after the Ukrainian independence that the memory of the heroic battle was revived.
This is the English service of Ukrainian Radio and the Ukrainian Diary. Ukraine paid a final tribute to its first cosmonaut, Leonid Kadenyuk. The most important mission of his life was the participation in the joint space project of the governments of Ukraine and America. In 1996, he was chosen to the team of Ukrainian cosmonauts for the travel in Columbia spacecraft, which took place the same year. The flight lasted 15 days, 16 hours, 35 minutes. In 1995, the National Aviation Committee of Ukraine, together with NASA, began preparations for spaceflight and scientific experiments. It lasted 3 years, during which the specific tasks of the experiment were coordinated, equipment and devices were improved, joint actions of Ukrainian and American scientists were worked out. In February 1996, Leonid Kadenyuk joined a group of Ukrainian cosmonauts for the preparation of space shuttle, and in July 1996, he arrived in the United States to prepare for the flight to the Johnson Space Center. From a childhood, Kadenyuk dreamed of becoming an astronaut, eventually became a military and research pilot, and had test flights on various types of spacecraft. Leonid was always interested in the problems of ecology and the study of nature. During his space flight, he conducted 10 biological experiments and experiments on the effects of weightlessness for plants. Leonid Kadenyuk said this in his recent interview with Ukrainian radio.
Коли дивитися на землю, дуже красиво. На такій гарній планеті повинно бути і гарне життя. Але знову ж таки, коли згадуєш, як ми живемо,
when you look at the earth, it's very beautiful. On such a beautiful planet, there must be a good life. But again, when you remember how we live, you understand how imperfect human society is. It is necessary to change the concept of our existence on our planet. The first problem is ecology, and a human is responsible for it, said Леонід Каденюк. And with that we end the Ukrainian Diary, a review of the most important events in this country over the past week.
Ukrainian Radio, English Service.